Your Locked On Canucks, your daily podcast on the Vancouver Canucks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to Locked On Canucks. I am your host, Lachlan Irvin, and joining me today for the first time ever is my brand new co-host. He is a former writer for Canucks Misconduct at SB Nation. He also hosted the Power of the Towel podcast. And please welcome my co-host, Nick Bondi, to the show. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm excited to get this started. It's been in the works for a little while now. And yeah, I'm just really excited to have my daily Canucks takes out for everyone for this season. It should be an interesting one. I do not expect, well, we could talk about this maybe at some point, but I do not expect the Vancouver Canucks to have a death march at some point this season like they did last year, right? Like, I expect them to be in the playoff hunt throughout the season, for at least the rest of the season. So I'm excited for that. And I'm excited to be with you every day, spend some time with you every day. You're a great guy so far.
Yeah, so far. Once in due time, so
we'll see if that changes sometime soon.
Yeah, exactly. Today we're gonna be doing this obviously every single day, 5 days a week, all throughout the season. And like Nick said, hopefully no death marches for the Canucks. I don't believe so either, by the way. I think especially in the division the Canucks are in, I think their odds are pretty good, even compared to last year. They've got an objectively better team, I think, this time around. Well, assuming that they re-sign Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes in time to start the year, which we're going to get into today. And we're also going to be talking about Tyler Motte being out for the next 3 weeks, according to a recent Rick Dhaliwal report. First of all, you've done this before. You've done podcasting on a pretty regular basis before for Canucks Misconduct. You've done writing on a regular basis. What drew you to wanting to do this sort of a show now, doing a daily show?
I think the time was right for me to kind of expand my influence podcasting, so to say. I mean, like, look, I like doing Power the Towel, but that was mostly once a week, twice a week, maybe during the hockey season. The opportunity to do something like this every day and talk about Canucks every day and, find new topics. There's always some, especially during the season, doing a show twice a week, sometimes you have to leave stuff out, right? Like, there's just things that you can't really get to, even in a twice a week show that's, hour and a half each episode. So to do a show like this where you can talk about pretty much everything and never really leave anything on the table, because it is a daily show that is, half an hour long, is something that I just couldn't pass up. And to do something with a co-host. I've never done a podcast with a co-host. Can you believe
really?
That? I started Power of the Towel January of 2020. This is the first time I've ever done a podcast with a co-host. I've obviously had guests before. That's my whole thing with Power of the Towel, is try and get a guest on each week. And I pretty much, you were a guest on at one point.
That's right, I was. Yeah, that's exactly.
But I've never done a podcast with a co-host before, and I'm excited to have that, go back and forth with someone for a whole series of podcasts. That's what I look forward to.
Yeah. It's much more fun being able to have the conversation and being able to build that up over time, like being able to, get to know somebody and actually be able to, sometimes you're not always going to have the same opinions on everything. And that adds to the entertainment. It adds to the ability to better dissect a hockey team because you're not always going to see the same angle on something that you might get missed. So yeah, it's going to be really good being able to talk to you every single day about this team. And before the show, we were talking a little bit about, Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes, and how, neither of them are signed. We're about 4 days out from training camp here. It's coming down to the wire, and now we're hearing reports that Pettersson has gone to join Hughes in Michigan after being in Vancouver for a little bit. He's now gone, and which, I don't know about you, that doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence that this is getting done in the near future.
Well, I think we could kiss goodbye the the idea that they're going to get signed before the start of training camp in a couple of days, right? I think that's gone out the window. But the panic, I'm not pushing the panic button quite yet, right? All right, the panic button, I'll tell you what, the panic button is outside of my desk. I can see it. It's on the other side of the room. I can.
You have a panic button.
I have a panic button for situations like this. I have a panic. This panic button's on the other side of the room. I'm looking at it. I can see where it is, but I'm not willing to push it just yet. Like, I'm not really concerned if they miss some training camp time. Because, you know, look, this is going to be Elias Pettersson's what? I'm fourth training camp under Travis Green, right? This is going to be Quinn Hughes' third. It's not like they're rookies. It's not like they don't know Travis Green and his systems. Like, they know what to expect from a Travis Green training camp. And this is the 1970s where guys show up to training camp to get in shape. Like, these guys are already in shape. Like, they're probably good to go as soon as they sign their contract. Sure, you'd like them to play in a couple of preseason games, but if they miss preseason games, I don't think that's the end of the world. If anything, that might be beneficial, because if you're not playing in preseason games, you can't get hurt. And that would be devastating to the Canucks if they miss any regular season time this season, right? So panic button is out in my room. I can see it. I'm not willing to push it just yet.
Yeah. Like you said, I don't think it matters if they miss some preseason games. And frankly, they probably weren't even going to play in the first two or three, regardless of what happens. I think the worry for me mostly is more about the sometimes contentious nature of contract negotiations, and how sometimes that can leave a bitter taste in your mouth when it comes to having to go back to that negotiating table later, especially with the fact that the odds right now, based on the way the Canucks cap is structured, that they're going to have to go short-term bridge deal on at least one of them. There's some concern that it might be both, but you hope that they can at least get one long-term deal done and only have to worry about the bridge for one of them. But that means going back to negotiating after already having done it for this long. And I don't know, is there any worry on your part that, you know, this could end up making it harder for both sides to see an agreement later down the road, should that be needed?
I don't think so. Like, I think this is part of, you know, the business of hockey is like the second contract to go, you know, negotiating a star's deal out of that entry-level deal is usually the hardest deal to do, right? Because it's just such a big pay bump from what the team is getting used to, right? Like, you know, at least Pettersson was getting paid the rookie max, same with Quinn Hughes, and now they both, you know, at least Pettersson probably wants $9+ million a season, right? Like, everyone's, all these reports are saying he's using Kaprizov as a comparable, and Kaprizov turned down like a huge $9 million a year deal with the Wild, right? So Pettersson's probably looking at that. And Hughes, you know, I'm sure he's looking at Makar's deal and saying, like, I want at least that if I want a long-term deal. I always said at the beginning of this, my prediction was they both signed matching bridge deals at 3 years, $8 million per. You see it, the whole negotiation is they're represented by the same agency. They negotiate as a block to increase their bargaining power, right? Why else do you think Elias Pettersson's flying down to Michigan to hang out at Quinn and Jack Hughes's, you know, party house or whatever the hell it's called, right? Like, it's a negotiation tactic. It's a ploy to try and get the most out of the Canucks. And you know what? More power to them. But I said at the beginning of this, 3x8 for both. And if you're going to go long-term, I think with one of them, I think it's got to be Elias Pettersson. Just because I think a top-of-the-line, first-line center like Elias Pettersson is more important to a Stanley Cup contender than a Norris-caliber defenseman like Quinn Hughes. You can win without a Norris-caliber defenseman on your blue line if you have enough blue line depth. I'll make sure that the Canucks do not have enough blue line depth right now. But if they did, you could win with like a salt. Think about the 2011 Canucks. And I'm excited to talk about the 2011 Canucks. You know why? Because we had a rule on the Canucks Misconduct Network. No 2011 talk. But on the 2011 Canucks, did they have a solid blue line, you know, a top of the line Norris caliber defenseman? They had solid maybe four or five really good defensemen. And think about,
I would say Christian Ehrhoff was pretty decent. Like, he was never say a Norris candidate, but he was at his best he was a very good.
Yeah, but that's defenseman. What I'm talking about. I'm talking about like a Norris caliber, like Norris nominated defenseman. You do not need a Norris nominated defenseman to win the Stanley Cup. 2017 Penguins won the Stanley Cup with like a duct tape blue line, but they had that center depth and they had that top line center. And I just think if you're going to go with Elias Pettersson long-term, that's the way to go because you need that top line center.
All right, hockey fans, now I'm going to give you the inside track on fantasy hockey. It's Fantrax. Fantrax free NHL Fantasy Hockey League Manager is the most customizable, easy to use, and feature-rich platform in the industry. Sign up for free today, and as a special offer for Locked On Canucks fans, you'll be entered to win an official NHL-signed Nathan MacKinnon jersey. Simply go to Fantrax.com/LockedOn and sign up. The top dynasty fantasy hockey platform in the industry, Fantrax is the most customizable fantasy platform, offering the greatest fantasy experience for your dynasty, keeper, redraft, and best ball leagues. Go deep with the ultimate keeper in dynasty leagues, create a simple redraft league, or even customize a best ball league with up to 2,000 teams. Among the most trusted names in fantasy sports since 2008, offering hockey, football, basketball, college football, golf, soccer, and NASCAR, if there's anything lacking in your current fantasy league manager, Fantrax likely has it. Fantasy sports doesn't sleep, and neither does Fantrax with seasons running 365 days a year. Again, sign up for free today and be entered to win an official NHL signed Nathan MacKinnon jersey by going to Fantrax.com/LockedOn and sign up today. That's Fantrax.com/LockedOn. Fantrax, the home of fantasy sports. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for all the good stuff. Well, I'm here to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Well, I agree with you that, yes, a top-line center is super important. And I will say I see things a little differently just in the fact that if I'm going long-term, I go long-term on Quinn Hughes specifically because I think it is easier. I agree that you can get that top-line center is very important. I think it's easier to find that top-line center, again, than it is to find an elite Norris caliber defenseman that, like you said, maybe not every cup champion has had one at their disposal, but that's also because they're so rare and hard to come by. A defenseman like Quinn Hughes is so rare to me, especially for the Canucks in this franchise. Like how many, like off the top of your head, like of like generational defensemen of the Canucks had, like I mentioned,
zero.
Christian Erhoff. This is the first guy, exactly. And I think that especially in today's NHL, the odds on you having to pay way more for that defenseman later down the road is much more likely. I think with a forward, you can kind of manage that. You can manage those numbers a little bit better in terms of the cap and whatever term you're looking for them. Whereas that defenseman usually can command a lot more money later on, especially in Hughes's case, if you expect him to be as good as he is. And in the way the Canucks are structured right now, I think the fact is they just don't have a lot of good defensemen available, like even B or C tier defensemen right now. And especially like
Tucker Poolman, Lachlan, come on.
For Tucker Poolman.
The Poolman.
He was being used as a measuring stick for other contracts. People were saying other defensemen were getting signed for 1.6 Tucker Poolmans. Hughes is such an important part of the Canucks' future. Like, and that's not saying obviously Pettersson isn't. He's also incredibly important. I just think that your odds on being able to negotiate a more team friendly deal with Pettersson later on is better than your odds on doing that with say Quinn Hughes.
Okay, yeah, you know what? I can see that point, but just for me, like I'd rather have Elias Pettersson locked up for the next like 6-7 years than Quinn Hughes. I just think Elias Pettersson, you get a deal like that, it'll provide salary structure to this team, right? If you lock in Elias Pettersson, say at $9 million. Like, again, the bunch of reports out there saying he's comparing to Kaprizov. Like, that's his big comparable. $9 million a year. Like, he probably, like, at minimum, it's going to take $9 million a year to sign a guy like Pettersson. You sign Elias Pettersson to a long-term deal with $9 million per. That tells everyone else on the team, like, do not try and ask for more than $9 million because you're not better than Elias Pettersson. Like, there's going to be some, like, contract negotiations coming up with, you know, Brock Besser, Bo Horvat, even a guy like JT Miller. You lock up a guy like Elias Pettersson at $9 million per, that tells those guys, do not ask for more than $9 million per season. Do not even bother because you're not better than Elias Pettersson, and adjust your expectations accordingly.
Agreed. And not to sound a tad glib about anything going on so early in the year, but it's too bad we're having this. We have to have this conversation now as it is. I think you and I would both agree that the way the Canucks are structured, they really should have been able to afford both. Like, we shouldn't have to be having this conversation of which one they can afford to go long term on versus short or a short term bridge. They should if they had managed their cap better, particularly when it came to, say, some of the trades they've made, or like the free agency pickups they've chosen, particularly looking at the Tyler Myers, the Oliver Ekman-Larsons, the Tucker Pullmans, like you mentioned earlier. It's too bad because they really could have afforded both, and we could be looking at a situation where both are entering camp having their long term locked up, and how much better that would be for the team right now.
Yeah, and you know, but at the same time, I think it was important for the Canucks to sign all these guys and make all these moves, because you had to, after that disastrous 2021 shortened season, like, you had to show guys like Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes that this team was committed to winning and was committed to icing a competitive team. Like, let's say they don't make these moves and they have a ton of these, like, you know, they don't get anything back, or, you know, the whole salary dump of Louis Erickson, Jay Beagle, Antoine Roussel, and they have a ton of cap space. And sure, you'll have a ton of cap space to sign Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes to long-term deals, but you're not any better. And do Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes want to be a part of that? Like, Elias Pettersson, remember all the controversy when Elias Pettersson pretty much just said in an interview he wants to win? Like, Elias Pettersson may have legitimately signed an offer sheet if the Canucks, you know, don't make any moves and they have all this cap space to sign him. Sure, you have all this cap space to sign him, but is Elias Pettersson after last season going to be want to be a part of this team long term? I think, you know, making all these moves, trading, you know, all those assets for OEL and Connor Garland, making the moves they did in free agency, yes, they have a bit less cap space to sign these guys, but at the same time, I think it pretty much nullified any chance that a guy like Elias Pettersson was going to sign off sheet. Because I saw online again, people from Detroit are like, oh, Elias Pettersson, he's in Michigan, he's going to sign an offer sheet. He's not signing an offer sheet with Detroit, okay? Any Red Wings fans listening to this, sorry, he's not signing offer sheet in Detroit. He came out in an interview and said he wants to win. Why is he going to want to lose another 3 to 4 years in Detroit? So he's not signing an offer sheet. I think those moves, yes, you had a bit less. Now you have a bit less cap space to work with, but you pretty much nullified any chance that a guy like Elias Pettersson is going to sign an offer sheet with another team. Obviously, that wasn't a factor with Quinn Hughes, but for Elias Pettersson, it was a big factor, right?
Yeah, it definitely was a big factor. Like, the fact that they've definitely improved based on what the team looked like last season. I mean, you can't deny the fact that Connor Garland adds a bona fide top six scoring talent. Jason Dickinson is a solid depth center who's going to do wonders for being able to free up Bo Horvat for more offensive opportunities than he has in the past. I just look sometimes at particularly defensive signings, like giving Travis Hamonic a raise. I don't know. Like, I think the Canucks in theory could have maybe gone and found somebody better than Travis Hamonic for that amount of money, or possibly less. And that's kind of just where my head is at in terms of, say, looking at what you could have done to say, still improve on the team, but leaving as much extra money on the table for your two superstars, for the two guys who, frankly, without them, you don't have a team at all.
Yeah, and this goes back to the whole Jim Benning thing where, you know, he doesn't really have any incentive to make long-term moves, right? Like, once again, like we're in a situation with Jim Benning where if he doesn't make the playoffs this season, like he's in trouble. So is there really any incentive for him to try and plan out long-term for Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes? I don't think so. Like, you left enough space probably if you're Jim Benning. You're like, okay, I've got, you know, $16 million in cap space. I've got enough to sign these guys to bridge deals at $8 million per. Done deal. Let's go.
Yeah.
Get to
You
training
could
camp.
argue he's already kind of looking at it like this is that bridge deal, those bridge deals will be the next guy's problem. Like you almost get that sense with him in a way that yeah, he's prepared that that's going to be somebody else's to deal with at some point. We're going to be talking a little bit about Tyler Mott and his injury situation in the next segment, but first, I need to talk to you about Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they have so many delicious flavors for you to try. Things like Cherry Barcia, Double Chocolate, Strawberry, and Cookies and Cream. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mix box where you'll get two of each of their nine flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too, ranging from only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs per bar. As somebody who snacks a lot, especially while I'm on the go for school, I've been trying to find healthier ways to do that, and Built Bar does that. All their flavors are amazing, tasty, and healthy. Built Bar is even the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is awesome. You can get Built Bar for yourself by going to built.com and using the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. One other thing we were going to talk about today is Tyler Mott. Came out this week that he has had an undisclosed surgery during the off season. It looks like he's going to be out for at least the next 3 weeks, if I remembered Rick Dhaliwal's reporting correctly. And which means that going into training camp, there's an extra spot open for somebody on the fourth line wing. One of the things the Canucks did do really well this offseason is they, and something that they should have been doing a long time ago, was they found a lot of solid, cheap depth signings for, you know, guys. They took flyers on a bunch of guys who are most likely going to the AHL, but if could potentially, one of them could potentially rise their way to the top and end up fighting for a spot on that fourth line. Or playing at least you know, some minutes down the stretch in case of injuries like we've got now. Is there a player that sticks out in your mind that if they had a good training camp could potentially break their way into the opening night roster while Tyler Mott is out of commission?
You mentioned a good point that, you know, finally the Canucks have some sort of competent depth that they can call up these guys in case of injury. That wasn't really the case before. You know what I like to see on the wing? Nick Batan. That's the guy I want to see on the wing. I've always been a fan of Nick Batan ever since playing NHL 13. I'd always draft him in the first round every time because he turned into like a really good forward. He had like that 1 year in junior where he scored like 130 points or what have you. He was like a 2 point per game player or something ridiculous. 2015. I'm always have a soft spot for like these guys who did really well in the World Juniors. I haven't done anything yet in the NHL. So sign me up for Nick Batan. I want to see Nick Batan. He's from Delta, local kid. Why not get him on the fourth line wing? See what he can do in limited minutes. Maybe give him some power play two time. Why not? I want to see Nick Batan. That's a guy I want to see.
Interesting choice. I like that. Do you have, you mentioned the World Junior. Do you have like a an all-time favorite? Like, I don't know, who is like a guy that you loved in the World Juniors that never turned into like an NHL player, like a regular NHL player, but you thought was like, oh, this is the guy, this is the one. Was
Oh
there a
yeah,
guy for you on that?
easily. There was a goalie on Slovakia 1 year. I think it might have been 2015 as well. Like he
Oh,
might have
I
been. It
think
was
Dennis
amazing. I'm like, why
Godla,
the
was that
hell?
him?
Yes, he was
Ah,
amazing, right? And I
I
remember thinking like
remember him.
this guy's like 100% getting a shot in the NHL now, and I don't think he's played like a single game in the
Yeah,
NHL. Has come any close.
I don't think he even got drafted, which was wild because he was so, yeah, I'll never forget that. He was so good. And now you're looking at a case where the Canucks backup goaltender this year is probably the starting goalie for Slovakia at the Olympics in Beijing. Go Yaroslav Halak. For me, I think the guy that I'm looking at that might be like an interesting bottom six option is Philip DiGiuseppe. He's had a few good years at the NHL level. Like he's had a definite like regular NHL success with Carolina and New York over the last couple of years. It's not a lot of games. He's not necessarily a big point getter, but of course, if you're playing on the fourth line, especially with this group in particular, it's a little less of a worry. Like before, they definitely needed more contribution from the fourth line, but they're actually going into the year with some scoring depth this time around. So he doesn't necessarily have to be there. If he can be just kind of a glue guy, he might be a good fit there. I think his odds on finding his way into the lineup again regularly might be a little tougher. But I think just as far as like that experience goes, and he's got a little bit of youth on his side, he could do pretty well. I've seen a couple of people mention Matthew Highmore because it's not that he's like kind of a forgotten option. It's more that just that it doesn't he's not necessarily a guaranteed fourth line guy, and he kind of feels like he's just right in the bubble.
I have him making the team out of camp already. Yeah. I just think like you trade him for Adam Gaudette. Like you're going to give him every chance you have to succeed. Like that's... I don't think it'll look bad. I think, you know, the self-preservation thing, like they don't want to make themselves look bad by sending him right down to the AHL. But I like your Phil DiGiuseppe out. First of all, fellow Italian, always have time for that. But I, you know what? Like I've always thought of Phil DiGiuseppe as like a center, right? And you got Brandon Sutter there, fourth line center. Like Travis Green loves Brandon Sutter. So like, are they really going to want to move Brandon Sutter off that fourth line role? Like they signed him to that real, you know, short one year deal because he's like a right-hand center and they like his face-off ability. So if Phil DiGiuseppe can play the wing, then yeah, sure. I like that shout, but man, I want to see Nick Batan play for the Canucks.
You just want one game. You just need your one game of Nick Batan. You need the one.
I just need the one game of Nick Batan, like tearing it up just to be vindicated from all my takes back in 2015. That's what I'm holding out for.
I hope the Canucks read Twitter. Cause if they do, I might just have to tweet out that they should only play Nick Batan against Vegas or against Marc-Andre Fleury. See if he does the glove thing again, which started the whole, I don't know if you've seen, there was a Twitter meme that went around where like somebody was showing like the domino effect and it was Marc-Andre Fleury's save on Nick Batan was the small domino. And then at the end was the COVID-19 pandemic. Cause it was like right after that, or it was like all these coaches getting fired, a bunch of other things. It was against the Leafs at the time.
Mike Babcock canned.
Yeah, he got fired, and then all the other stuff started piling on top of that with like other coaches and other things. And then that was all in the year that the pandemic paused, which is wild in hindsight because that feels like 5 years ago now.
Yeah, Don Cherry got let go like pretty shortly after or something like that.
He sure did. That was all within like a month, like all within a short month of time. Now, what could possibly happen if he plays a game this time? Let's see. Well, we just might find out this year, and we just might find out in training camp as well. And I think with that I just about wraps it up for this first episode of Locked On Canucks as a duo, as a combo show. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, betting on hockey doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. Nick, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Nick Bonney. That's probably the best way to find me. And of course you can message the Locked On Canucks Twitter page as well. I'll get back to you there as well.
For sure. He's going to be running socials from here on out. Thank God. You can find me on Twitter as well. You can find me at Lock in the Crease. I also do writing on my blog, lockinthecrease.com. And I also have another podcast called The Crease Cast, which you can check out every Tuesday and Friday. And yeah, make sure you hit notifications for this show because we're going to be doing this 5 days a week for the rest of the year. And you also make sure you subscribe on YouTube. We have full video versions of every podcast as well. So with that in mind, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, take care.